This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Have you or someone you know developed slurred speech or voice changes? How about eating or drinking difficulties? Or is this something you might be worried about in the future? Kia ora and welcome to the show. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago and you are listening to our monthly podcast, MS Momentum, on Otago Access Radio, where I interview people about all things related to living with multiple sclerosis in Otago. Today I'm again talking with Kim Churton, who is a speech and language therapist who currently lives in Canterbury, working for On The Go Physio, specialising in working with people with neurological conditions. Kim is also a trained yoga and Pilates instructor and has a strong passion for connecting the brain and the body. So, hello Kim, thanks for joining me again today. So last time we had a really good chat about speech issues and some things that people can look out for that. So I really urge people to go back and listen to that part one of the podcast. And then today we're going to talk a little bit more about some swallowing issues and some things that people might be able to do if they might be experiencing like the speech or swallowing issues.
Yeah, great. It's great to be back with you again for part two, Katie. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. So what are some swallowing issues you might commonly see in MS or in neurological conditions kind of in general?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kind of talk a bit more specifically around MS. So we can see swallowing problems, which is also called dysphagia. So people might hear that word used to talk about swallowing problems. Somewhere around 30 to 50% of people with MS may experience swallowing problems at some stage. And just like we talked about in the last podcast with speech and communication, these can vary widely depending on what's happening from a neurological perspective. So as we know with MS, it affects the central nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord. So this can have an impact on messages going from the brain to the body to do certain jobs that are important for speech and swallowing. But it can also affect the messages getting to the brain, the sensory input coming back to the brain. So if we're talking specifically about swallowing, we might see weakness in the muscles that are used for swallowing. So that could be around the mouth. We need to use our lips and our tongue to just manage the food or fluid before we send it down towards our throat. It might affect the muscles in our throat, which are really important for protecting our airway as the food passes through our pharynx, which is kind of that midway area between our mouth and our esophagus. And it might also affect the muscles in that, so the last phase, we call it our esophageal phase, which is where the food or fluid enters the top of our esophagus and moves down towards our stomach. So muscles could be affected in terms of weakness, or there could be incoordination, which affects the whole flow of food or fluid, right from when we touch it on our lips to when it goes down towards our stomach. We may also have difficulties due to sensory changes. So that's the messages getting from our mouth and our pharynx up to our brain to kind of say, hey, we need to do some work here. We've got some food to chew. We need to get the muscles in our throat working and coordinated to make sure the food and fluid goes the right way and not into our airway. And sometimes those messages aren't going through maybe as quickly and efficiently, and that's when we can get incoordination, which may lead to difficulties as well. So we've got the sort of the muscle motor changes that may occur, and we've got some of the sensory changes which may have an impact as well. And then also we can have things like fatigue can be another sort of layer on top of that, which might affect someone's ability to just keep things going throughout a mealtime and keep those muscles working and those messages getting through. So you might find over a mealtime, maybe things are okay at the start, but towards the end, we might see some more difficulties. And so fatigue, yep, is a factor as well. And then if cognition's involved, then that might be a factor as well, just in terms of how a person is able to sort of manage a mealtime. Yeah, so lots of little things that can happen, which may also look very different between different people.
And I guess again, like it gets quite complex, doesn't it? In terms of like, and we talked about this last week in speech. We don't think about all the things our body is automatically doing when it comes to speech, in terms of like bringing in messaging and getting that back out, and all the physical things that are happening. And it's the same with swallowing. You know, we just think of it as, I guess, an automatic process. But it's when those automatic processes are interrupted due to the damage in MS or another neurological condition that you might start seeing some of those kind of complications occur.
Absolutely. And I think, particularly for eating and drinking, it's something we've done all our lives without even thinking about it. And we do it, we eat and drink while we sometimes try and have a conversation, or we might be watching TV, or we might be even walking around and moving. So we have often spent our lives just doing something without thought put into it, and then changes start to occur, and something that obviously came naturally is now not coming naturally. So it can have a really big impact, not just on safety, because obviously safety is a big factor. We don't want food and fluid entering the airway because that can lead to issues like chest infections, and if they got really bad, potentially aspiration pneumonia if food or fluid gets into the lungs. But also in terms of just quality of life, we often socialize around food and drink. Celebrations happen, we meet friends, so it can have a big impact on their overall well-being if someone suddenly finds this is a difficult area and it's not as much fun anymore. It's hard work and it takes a lot of effort and a lot of concentration, that repercussions can be quite wide-ranging.
And I think that social aspect for both speech and swallowing is really, really important to take into account, like you say. I mean, I think of just us as an organization, like all of our group meetings, we'll have a coffee and we'll have a biscuit and we'll ha you know, like it's, I guess, normal in our society that generally when people get together there's food and drink and things like that involved.
And there's often always talking and eating and drinking. And often when there's changes with swallowing, it's often likely that person may also be experiencing some changes to their voice or their speech. And so they're actually got a lot to manage if they're needing to put a lot of effort into their speech and making themselves clear, or following a conversation, and then they're holding a cup of tea and someone's offered them a scone in the other hand. And, when then we'll bring our physios in to manage the coordination of all these things that they need to like balance and hold and talk. There can be a lot going on, and the brain has a lot of work to do to keep all those messages flowing, to make that situation still enjoyable for the person.
And it can be quite overwhelming, can it? You know, like if, you know, again, a lot of those processes we think of as automatic processes we've done the most of our lives, it becomes, I guess, normal for us to do that, those things. And then when it becomes difficult, then, there can be a lot of, I think, overwhelm with, well, I can't. Something I've experienced is that people will come to me and be like, well, I can't socialize, or I can't, you know, I can't go out with my friends, or I can't do this because it's just, you know, it's just too much kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think when it starts, also there can be then a sequence of Well, it can flow on because if people aren't then doing as often, they'll lose their confidence. And if people aren't using the muscles for speech and swallowing as often, then some of those skills can then deteriorate at a faster rate than if they were putting themselves in those situations. And I suppose if we were just talking about coming back to swallowing, if it became more difficult and people started to maybe eat smaller meals or avoid certain foods or maybe take on less fluids, then we end up having issues with potential nutrition issues, potential for dehydration. So that's a really important area to just be aware of and to keep an eye on with the rest of our team. So we often bring in our dietitian colleagues as well, because that can then obviously affect energy levels, and then it's all linked in. So we want to really manage or support people with swallowing who might be experiencing swallowing difficulties early on when we first start seeing some of these difficulties, so that we don't get these changes in the nutritional and fluid intake, and we can keep people eating and drinking normally and to this to the those good amounts as long as possible and prevent some of those other issues occurring. So I do really encourage people if they and it might be really subtle. It might be things like maybe a mealtime's taking a little bit longer. Maybe they find they've got some food residue that just maybe a spouse notices there's some food in the mouth that doesn't get sort of swallowed down, or they might notice maybe a little bit of a wetness or a gurgliness in their voice after they've had something to eat or drink, maybe indicating some of the food and fluid didn't clear completely from the pharynx. And just some of those subtle changes are really important to then maybe encourage that referral to a speech therapist to get involved early.
Absolutely. We are going to talk about more about that, about what other people might notice and what other people and what kind of things people might be able to do after this quick ad break.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz. Or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you are just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. So during this episode and last month's episode, we are talking with Kim Chutin, who is a speech and language therapist. So in last month's podcast, we talked quite a lot about speech issues, and at the start of this podcast we talked about some swallowing issues that people might experience with MS or other neurological conditions. So Kim, and a little bit before the break we were talking a little bit about what partners or what other people might see, and in my experience with a lot of symptoms, it is quite often partners or family or friends that might pick up that something's not quite right before the person maybe even completely acknowledges it themselves. So, and I mean, I guess I'm thinking specifically in swallowing. I know we've all done it. We've all rushed to have a drink and it's gone the wrong way and we've had a big cough. So I imagine some of that is kind of part of it. But what sort of things might other people see that might indicate that there might be something else going on?
Yeah, good question, Katie. And it is often spouses, friends, other family members that may be the first ones to pick up on these changes because they might be subtle and they may be intermittent. The person themselves may just think, oh, it's sort of just normal because it's doesn't happen very often. And maybe, yeah, as you said, we all have those times where we might get distracted while we're eating and drinking, or chug back a drink of water too quickly, and you'd notice the feeling when it goes the wrong way. It's a really uncomfortable feeling if you get something that enters the top of your windpipe. And for most of us, we will cough immediately, and we have a really good ability to protect our airway. So the body is designed that we don't want food or fluid going into our windpipe. It heads down towards the lungs. The food and fluid needs to get into the esophagus, and we want to do breathing through our windpipe. But that doesn't always happen if the coordination and the sensation and the messages aren't getting through in time. So, yeah, as I said, for the normal population, occasionally that might happen. We know what that feels like. But this might then just start to happen a little bit more often with our individuals with multiple sclerosis. So that's one sign. It might just be coughing with food or fluids. It could be that they have an experience where they do feel it's actually gone a bit further in a choking sensation. And usually we will have that ability to cough and protect our airway, but sometimes the muscles that help us cough can be weakened, so that airway protection ability may be weakened, and the ability to get all that fluid out of the airway, if it does go the wrong way, might not be quite as good. So that's quite obvious, the coughing and choking. But we started talking before the break about those more subtle changes, and that might be just the meal times take a little bit longer, or food gets left on the plate and not eaten. Maybe someone's just getting tired during the meal. The muscles aren't working as efficiently, and they're not as strong, and so we're just taking less nutrition during that meal. So fatigue can be a big factor. And just other little things that we spoke about before the break, you might just get a subtle change in the voice quality. If there's a little bit of fluid residue that sits in the throat or the pharynx, you might get a slight wet or gurgly voice quality after having a drink. You might also, or spouses might also notice between meals, little bits of food might be left over in their cheeks or around their mouth that the person might not notice is there. And that can be not just a problem for safety, but even just socially. I don't think any of us want to be kind of going into a situation where we start chatting to someone and we've got some food in our mouth that we're not aware of. So sometimes a friend or spouse might subtly be able to say, "Oh, I think you've got a little bit of food still in your mouth. Have a drink of water will help clear that." If that might be there because of sensation changes that they're not quite feeling any of that residue. I suppose over time, if these difficulties keep occurring and become a bit more significant, we may see someone getting chest infections if food or fluid is entering the airway on a regular basis. And if chest infections become more severe, that can lead to pneumonia, and that's quite severe. So we do need to really be aware of these things early and just make sure the person is safe and keeping eating and drinking to meet their nutritional needs as long as possible, and supporting them to make that enjoyable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, lots and lots of things there for partners and family and friends and the person themselves to look out for as well. What is just a couple things that you might notice that might be a bit more subtle with, say, speech issues? I mean, you can, I guess everyone can probably think of obvious ones that people might notice. But yeah, I imagine there's some kind of more subtle ones that might mean there's something else going on in the background.
Yeah, so if we come back to speech again, one of the common difficulties people might experience is dysarthria, and that's when the muscles become weakened and we get this sort of slurred quality of speech. It can also affect the voice, so the strength of the voice, and we might notice more of a breathy quality. Person may struggle to get volume as loudly. And so from the individual's perspective, they might feel like they're just talking away normally, but they might get their conversational partner going, "What? I couldn't hear you say that again." And having to sort of repeat themselves a little bit, or possibly struggling in certain environments where maybe there's background noise. If it's a cafe and there's lots of people talking, the person might possibly start to withdraw from those situations if it's becoming really difficult to be heard. So there'll be certain situations which will be more challenging if speech and voice is affected. And so, yeah, dysarthria is quite common. And last time we talked about language and cognition and how that affects communication as well. So that's that difficulty with thinking of the words to say to deliver a message to another person, putting them in the right order. And then the cognitive aspect sort of could be around listening, following, remembering things that other people have said to them, and also cognition at a higher level, which is sort of planning and reasoning and problem solving, when language and cognition are sort of linked in for some of those more challenging tasks that someone may still find themselves, potentially in a workplace where they might be running a meeting and they've got to be thinking really fast on their feet and talking and listening to a group of people and trying to kind of summarize what they're hearing and then kind of deliver that back to the group, because we know that MS can affect a wide range of people. And so there'll be people who have are starting those speech and communication difficulties and are still in really demanding roles within their sort of working life or their social life. Maybe they're involved in local community groups or charities, and particularly if they're in a leadership role, some of these difficulties will probably start to become challenging for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if someone notices, whether that's the person themselves or their partner or a family or friend, what should they then go and do? What's the
Yeah,
next step
so,
after identifying, I guess, that there might be an issue going on?
yeah, absolutely. So, as a speech and language therapist, we're trained to work and support people. Often we'll get referrals from GPs, but we can take referrals often from different organisations in the community, and MSNZ has a lot of community advisors and people like yourselves, which will often be part of that referral process as well. And yeah, so even I would say, even if there's just subtle changes, speech, voice, anything communication or swallowing, put those referrals through early, because there is often a waiting list. If the referral comes through and it has dysphagia as one of the issues, that there's swallowing difficulties, that will be prioritized higher as well, because there's safety issues involved. So the earlier we get those referrals, the better, and the sooner we can come in and support the individuals. And then we will, as part of our assessment, come in, find out everything that's going on, and we'll then talk to the person and look at all the muscles and how they're working. And sometimes we will do more exciting investigations. We have a few quite cool tools that we can use, particularly in the field of swallowing. We can do an X-ray of someone's swallowing while it's still moving, which is pretty cool. And we can see where a fluid, how a fluid would move through the mouth and the pharynx down to the esophagus, and we can see how a solid item of food would move because we mix these things with barium, so it's radio opaque. And then we can check out, oh, okay, what part of the swallowing process is causing the problem? And then we can help the person go, okay, do we need to modify the texture of the food? Do we need to support this person by maybe some positioning which might help make the swallowing safer? There may also be environmental considerations that we would consider, like maybe having more meals that are throughout the day that aren't as long or as big. So if fatigue's a issue, smaller, more frequent meals, things like that. Sometimes it's just as simple as removing distractions during a mealtime, so you're not trying to get the person to talk and watch TV and walk around the house while they're eating and drinking, because the brain needs to really focus on the skill of swallowing itself. And then the last part of that, which is quite exciting, is we can actually do rehabilitation with a person, both for their speech, their voice, and their swallowing, because we know the brain has this incredible neuroplasticity ability. And when we know which particular parts might be having difficulty or where there's weakness, we can actually really be quite specific in terms of some exercises that might strengthen those muscles or strengthen some of those neural pathways. And so there's always potential to improve. It's not just about maintenance and safety, but we can actually really improve certain aspects of speech, voice, and swallowing for the people we work with.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kim. It's really great to hear all the different things that speech and language therapists can do to really help people in that situation. We are unfortunately out of time today, but it was really awesome to talk to you again. I feel like we could probably talk forever about this stuff. But yeah, I mean, you're obviously so knowledgeable, and we really, really appreciate you, giving up some of your time to help educate some of the people in Otago around speech and swallowing issues and what that might look like for them.
Thank you, Katie. It's been a pleasure to come back and talk to you again today. And yeah, wishing you all the best with all the amazing work you do for your MS community down in Otago. And when you come back to Canterbury next time, come visit again and we can hopefully connect again in person.
Perfect. Thanks, Kim. You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.